Welcome back to Preps Today with John Millay. We are speaking on Wednesday afternoon as prep sports really start rolling. We're going to start today with a lesson. I need lessons. John's going to teach me one.
Good luck.
Want to remind you, this is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Best lineup in sports in the Twin Cities. Great outdoor content, great variety content. We have Raise Your Paws, which is a new show about pets and nutrition, sponsored by Nutrisource. We appreciate them joining the network. And, of course, we've got all the best sports people, including John Millay, who is the prep guru from MSHSL.org. You can find John's journal there. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. And, John, why don't you start us off with lessons from Wabasha Kellogg.
Yeah, Jim. Good to talk to you this week. Last week on the show, I talked about, at that time, a planned trip to Wabasha Kellogg, which I did do Friday night, less than a two-hour drive from where I live in the south end of the Twin Cities. Beautiful drive down Highway 61, Red Wing Lake City down to Wabasha. It's just on a beautiful early autumn day. It was great. And I got more than I envisioned out of going down to this football game. And as I talked about last week, Wabasha Kellogg, that was the only football team in Minnesota that did not play a football game last year. Their whole season was wiped out by COVID, first with a couple of scheduled opponents. And then right there in Wabasha, everything was shut down in week three. So they did not play. So this was their first game Friday night in two seasons. The Cleveland Clippers came to town, about a two-hour drive from Cleveland east to the Mississippi River in Wabasha. Didn't go Wabasha's way, 41-0 Clippers. But as I wrote on John's Journal on the High School League website, that the final score wasn't the main thing. It was the fact that all the Falcons football players, all 19 of them, that's how many players they have, seven of those 19 are freshmen. They got to play a game. That was the most important thing. And I had been communicating with the coach down there, Tim Klingbell, since, early in the summer. And I kind of had this game in mind as soon as the schedules came out. And I love it. I don't always ask coaches what I asked him before the game started, but I said, can I be with your team when you talk to them before the game? Can I be in there at halftime? And usually after games, they talk in the end zone. That's not a problem. And they have kind of an equipment shed where they went after warm-ups and where they spent halftime. And Tim said, you bet, come in there. You're more than welcome. And it's really interesting and entertaining for me to eavesdrop on a high school team, no matter the sport, and hear what goes on behind the scenes. And my story has a lot of that, a lot of the things Tim told the kids before the game, at halftime, and after. And I've been doing this a long time, Jim, and I don't know if I've ever been more impressed with a coach than I was with Tim down at Wabasha. You know, they've had a rough go. They didn't play last year. I think the year before they won one game. It's not a football school. They're not known for football, but everything was 100% positive. Everything behind the scenes, on the sidelines, and that can't be that all easy, especially when you're losing in a game that goes to running time in the fourth quarter. The kids were great. Talked to several players, and just can't wish anything but good luck to the Falcons the rest of the year. So if you go to John's Journal at MSHSL.org, you can read about Wabasha Kellogg. There's some photos on there. And for people who haven't been down in that part of the state, you know, the Mississippi River and southeast Minnesota and the Bluffs, it is beautiful down there. It is.
It's a great drive.
It's just so much fun. And I've made that drive down that part of the state a lot. And it's just fantastic. Great people down there in Wabasha. And I had a really good time. So thanks to everybody down there.
Let you know about a couple live shows coming up. The Cheryl Reeve Show will be live at Pizza Luce downtown location, September 14th. It's Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Chin Music, our baseball show. We're planning a live show September 22nd at the Pizza Luce in Eden Prairie. We'll get you more details on exact time and everything else. But if you're interested in coming out and seeing a Talk North show and having some fun meeting some people, please do so. We will be doing some cool stuff with all the shows across the platform as we get the opportunity to. Let you know, all of our shows are at TalkNorth.com. Best way to listen to this show or the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's easy. or you can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod and see the shows as they are released. And thank you to Pizza Barn in Princeton, pizzabarnprinceton.com. All right, an ominous headline for our next story, a coach goes down.
Yeah, this was some pretty serious stuff, Jim, while I was down in Wabasha Friday night in Waseca, where Brad Wendland is the football coach. They were playing St. Peter in the season opener, and Waseca did win the game. But in the last minute, I think with about 30 seconds to go, Brad went down on one knee on the sidelines and basically collapsed. Ugh. And it was apparently a cardiac event, and his life was saved because there, you know, there were athletic trainers with both teams. There was an AED on the sidelines, the automated external defibrillator. And paramedics came right away. There was a nurse in the stands who came down to help. And I saw a tweet from the Waseca Athletics Twitter account late Friday night after I was home from Wabasha. And I texted Joe Hedevar, who's their AD down there. And we talked on the phone about midnight. And he was sitting in his car in the parking lot at the hospital in Mankato. And he had talked to Brad on the phone. And he said that was a great sign that Brad's up. He's conscious. I just talked to him on the phone. And this is scary stuff. You know, when you get that defibrillator out and you shock somebody's heart to get it going, and they did chest compressions. The ending is great. Brad, in fact, is home. As of today on Wednesday, he tweeted thanks to everybody that he was home. He's not going to be back coaching for a while or teaching, I'm sure. But, you know, thank goodness there's a happy ending here. And I'm working on a story from the perspective of why we have AEDs on the sidelines. Why do schools have what the high school league we call emergency action plans? You know, in schools that really are serious about saving lives, they practice for things just like this. Everybody has an assignment. You know, like Joe, the AD, he was in the press box when this happened. One of his assignments, if he's on site, is to dial 911. He's doing that as he's running down the stairs. The ambulance got there right away. You know, you have licensed athletic trainers. They know what to do. The defibrillator swings into action. They had a nurse there. So, I've been communicating with the Mayo Clinic today. And one number they gave me, in cases like this where someone has this type of cardiac event away from a hospital, 9 out of 10 of them die. So Brad Wendland from Waseca is in that 1 out of 10 who survive. So I'm putting together a story. I'm going to talk to Brad and Joe and the athletic trainers, and maybe next week we'll have a story here just from that perspective. You know, how does this happen? What goes into making this story a happy ending instead of a tragic ending? So good luck to Brad down there. Good luck to the Waseca team. They're going to go to Marshall this Friday and play. Brad will not be with them, but he's resting at home, and it's a good story. I want to mention a couple of other health issues where people are coming together. The Crookston High School Athletic Department this past week, I think it was Monday night, had a free will offering during a volleyball match. Crookston hosted Red Lake Falls, and Alex Gullingsrud, his parents are Mike, who's a well-known official up there for all kinds of high school and college athletics. And Alex's mom, Nikki, is the volleyball coach at Red Lake Falls. And Alex was diagnosed with osteosarcoma on a tumor on his pelvic bone. Doctors also found some nodules on a lung. He has started chemotherapy. I think he's at the Mayo Clinic. We wish him the best. Another student in that area from Goodridge Grigla, Dylan Wichterman, is also undergoing cancer treatment. So there'll be a fundraiser for both of those families on October 16th at the school in Grigla. They have a big volleyball tournament that day. There'll be bingo, silent auction, live auction, a beef brisket dinner, and a bake sale. And I have tentatively have that on my calendar. I got an email from somebody up there letting me know the details today. So I'm hoping to be there on October 16th to watch a nice volleyball tournament and see everybody work hard for those kids and those families. And we had a Grand Rapids football player, Andy Thompson, was injured a couple of weeks ago when they had their scrimmage before the season started. And it's a neck injury. He was flown down here to the Twin Cities, underwent spinal fusion. The surgery was successful. He's in a halo brace with a lot of healing and therapy ahead. And if you want to donate to Andy Thompson from Grand Rapids, there's a GoFundMe page. If you just search GoFundMe and Andrew Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-E-N, you can help that family out. So just a lot of things that are bringing people together here, Jim. Not the things we like to see, but hopefully everything in the end comes out fine.
I hope so. Yeah, and thank you for updating us on all those important stories. We're going to go to another ominous story here. Save our school boards. Before we do that, we do want to just bring you a little happy news. Pizza Barn in Princeton is still serving pizza, and they have a food truck.
Very happy news, and I'm proud to announce that if you haven't seen the Pizza Barn Facebook page, where Jody Stay, who runs the show there, does a lot of great videos. She has announced the September Pizza of the Month. It's a fan favorite. It's a Pizza of the Month, I think. Every year at some point, it's the mac and cheese pizza. We've talked about it before. Start with homemade crust, white cheddar mac and cheese. I'm a big fan of white cheddar mac and cheese anyway. They have a house blend cheese then. Cheddar and mozzarella goes on. Bacon. It goes in the oven. Then it comes out, and they top it with breadcrumbs that they make right there for a little crunch with a little garlic flavor. I can't wait. And other breaking food truck news. The Pizza Barn food truck will be at Minnetonka High School Friday night this week when the Skippers meet Blaine in football. And there's a huge coincidence. I'm going to be there too Friday night. How about that? Interesting.
How about that?
So that'll be great. I think they're having several food trucks come in. This is a great thing for a big high school to do. You can really, eat some good things, including all that stuff from the pizza barn. And they're famous, as we've talked about. They were kind of a trendsetter in these thank a ref pizzas they hand to officials after any kind of sporting event in up in Princeton. Well, they're going to hand those to officials after the football game in Minnetonka. And there's a rumor that I will be personally delivering those pizzas to the officials Friday night in Minnetonka. So we'll see what happens there. I've done that before in Princeton. I've never done it away from Princeton. I'm not sure I'm up to it, but we'll see what happens. So yeah, thanks to the Pizza Barn, Jody and the whole crew, great supporters of everything in Princeton and the area, great supporters of this podcast, and we couldn't be prouder.
That sounds like fun. We get to compare John Millay's real face to the one on the food truck. And how no many comparison. People can say that a face on a food truck?
Boy. And we've been in that food truck, too.
We have. It's nice.
I know Jody's smart enough to not let me in there when actual food is being prepared. That's not,
yeah, no foraging bears in the cockpit.
Exactly.
And if you'd like to advertise with this program or anywhere at TalkNorth.com, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. Now let's get to Save Our School Boards. Again, as I've mentioned many times on this show, my wife is a elementary school principal, and she's dealing with a lot of stuff, but I can't imagine what high school boards are dealing with right now.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. And Jennifer Brooks, a news side columnist at the Star Tribune, where you are a sports columnist, where I used to work. Jennifer had a great column. She kind of outline the issues that school boards are having because citizens are coming to meetings and attacking the school board members. They're, you know, sending them threatening emails and letters. I don't know. And she wrote this: furious people trying to scream school boards into submission. Board members are getting death threats and hate mail and angry people showing up on their doorsteps or business places. There are school board members who need police escorts back to their cars after a night meeting. And, you know, come on, people. We're better than that. It's just, you know, I ran for school board once, and thankfully the voters were smart enough to not elect me. But I don't think I'd make that decision now. I don't know. Maybe I'd be more inclined to do it now because I think it's time for people to step up and for the people who get it, who understand health and safety. You know, I think what we need to do is we need to actively show our support for our local school boards. You know, we need to flood them with phone calls and emails and tell them how much we support them and how important they are. Thank them for doing this. It's a thankless job. I think we should all go to school board meetings, make signs of support instead of signs of non-support. And we can outnumber the people who are pulling this. You know, they're misinformed, they're disinformed, and we can outnumber them. And I think it's, you know, we can do this, but bless those school board members and school administrators and teachers and staff, because they're doing important work. And even if not everybody's behind them, most of us are.
And you just hit on it. Is the majority of Americans, I've seen all the major polls, the majority of Americans believe in vaccinations, they believe in mask wearing, and they are respectful. But man, a vocal minority is a dangerous thing.
Sure is.
All right, let's get to your 9/11 remembrance, John.
Yeah, you and I remember that. You know, some people listening may be too young. It's been 20 years since September 11th, 2001. We remember it well. And that anniversary is Saturday. And in what has become an annual tradition for me, I'll post on John's Journal what I wrote for the Star Tribune 2 days later. It just holds up every year. It kind of talks about the importance of things like high school sports and activities in bringing people together. And back then, I think the day after 9/11, I spoke with the athletic director at Columbine High School in Colorado. We know what happened there. And just on how they dealt with tragedy and how high school activities and just high schools in general were a big part of that. And then I talked to somebody at Osceola High School in Wisconsin, where they had a major tragedy a few weeks before 9/11. So I'll be posting that here this week and leave it up through Saturday, Sunday probably. And I always get a good response from that. I just kind of started putting it up, and immediately when I started putting it up, when I was hired at the high school league, you know, going on 12 years ago, people really seemed to appreciate that, just that reminder. So I'm always happy to do it, and we'll do it again this year, and we'll keep doing it every September.
Good. I'm glad you did. I remember you writing about that at the time, and I appreciate the work you put into it. What are your weekend plans, John?
Yeah, I'm going to, I might be at a cross country meet on Thursday in Montgomery. I've got something else before that I hope ends quickly. I can get out there. It's a big cross country meet. I've been down there a couple times. There's 30 or 40 teams, boys and girls, JV races, varsity races. It's a good course on the beautiful golf course in Montgomery. And the weather this week is just as good as it could be for these kind of things. So I'm hoping to do that Thursday, and then I'll be at football games Friday and Saturday. As I said already, I'll be at Minnetonka Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff against Blaine. The pizza bar and food truck will be there. And there's an interesting special teams person on the Blaine High School football team, Kendall Staden, I don't know. She's a young woman who plays soccer and also kicks for the Bengals football team from Blaine. She's going to play soccer for the University of Minnesota. Last week, Blaine won their season opener when she kicked a 31-yard field goal as time expired. And that's gotten a lot of publicity. And we've had female kickers. That's not that rare anymore, but I don't remember a game-winning field goal, you know, on the last play of the game with a young lady out there kicking the ball. So way to go, Kendall. I'll see the Bengals and the Skippers Friday night. Saturday, I'm really looking forward to it. We've talked about the Blooming Prairie Awesome Blossoms before. Mm-hmm. They were the runner-up in last year's famous high school nickname challenge. Just nosed out by the Moorhead Spuds in the championship match. The Blooming Prairie Blossoms have a 2 o'clock football game Saturday. Lester Prairie is the visiting team, so it's the Prairie versus Prairie. But there's a lot going on down there Saturday. It's their annual cancer fundraiser. The football team is going to wear pink jerseys during warmups. By rule, you can't do that during the actual game, but you can do that during warmups. There's a fun run walk. There's bingo. There's auctions to raise funds. And in all these years about writing about high school sports in Minnesota, I have never been to a game in Blooming Prairie. So we're going to fix that on Saturday. And I'm really looking forward to it. Again, the beautiful weather we're having, a Saturday afternoon high school football game in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota. I can't imagine much of anything better than that.
If my memory serves me, and it doesn't always serve me, I think I coached some youth traveling softball in Blooming Prairie at one point.
Yep. I've been down there. I interviewed a football player, but I didn't interview him till the following spring. He was also playing baseball. And people in Blooming Prairie, I apologize, I can't remember the specifics, the young man's name. He went on, I believe, to Winona State as a quarterback, big, tall, strong, super nice kid. And he had some some health issues, possibly was a cancer survivor, but this is years ago. So I just went down to a baseball practice and talked to him and Chad Gimble, who's the football coach. I talked to Chad on the phone and get this, Jim, I got an email from Chad yesterday. Chad's I emailed Allie Mock, who's the AD, and Chad, who's the football coach, letting them know I was planning to come down Saturday. So what they do in Blooming Prairie after home games, I don't know if they go to the coach's house after every game or if it rotates with different families, but after Saturday's game, the football team is going to Chad's house for a little meal, and they'll watch college football on TV, and I've been invited to hang out at the coach's house. I told him that is unbelievably nice. If I have enough time, I certainly will, but I may be hanging out with the Awesome Blossoms at the coach's house after the game. Now, I'm a bad influence on them, coach, so let's rethink this, but we'll see what happens. But that's very nice of Chad to invite me to do that.
Is it BYOP, bring your own pork?
Bring your own pretzels, pork, pizza. I don't know. Maybe I'll get some leftovers from the Pizza Barn food truck Friday night. Maybe Jody will just set me up with a couple pizzas that I can take down there and we'll throw them in the oven. How about that?
I'm sure she would do that. last headline of the show. Thank you all for listening to TalkNorth.com. We do appreciate it. Last headline of the show hits me where I live. A student newspaper.
We have a journalism-related note. I saw a tweet. I was tagged in this tweet from the Proctor Mallet. The Mallet is the school newspaper up north at Proctor High School, just outside of Duluth. As the school year begins, the Mallet is beginning its 96th continuous year of publishing. 96 years for that high school student paper. That's unbelievable. What a great tradition. We hear about high school traditions all the time. That one is pretty good. And they do a great job on Twitter. I followed them for a long time. And that's how I learned of this 96th anniversary of the Proctor Mallet. I was notified via Twitter, which I don't believe was available 96 years ago. Back then, they would have had to write me a letter and put it in the mail, I assume.
Back then, you had to insult people face to face.
That's right. You really had to be serious. You had to work at it.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I will offer this personal note as, you know, at the juncture of sports and journalism, high school sports, you know, I moved from Maryland co-ed school to St. Louis all boys high school after my freshman year. So I kind of all the clicks were set. I didn't, you know, there were no girls to talk to. It was kind of a miserable year. And my first like year and a half at the new high school was miserable. I was miserable. And what kind of got me out of my funk was going to a track day, you know, whatever you call it, a field day. Yeah. And actually, I, you know, with no training, I ran fairly fast. The track coach came over, recruited me, ended up running cross country and track. And the fact that I got involved, I wasn't very good, but I just did it. I was on good enough to be on varsity, not particularly good. The fact that I was on varsity and the school newspaper wasn't writing about track and cross country led me to go and ask if they would cover it. And they said, no. I said, what if I write about it? And they said, yes. And like 6 months later, I'm the sports editor of the school newspaper. My senior year, University of Missouri Journalism School is 2 hours away, in-state tuition. It set me on the path that led me to get to talk to Brandon Morton and John Millay a week.
If you'd only known then, you'd have become a pharmacist or a doctor or something.
So school papers are really important. As are all, and we talk about a lot about sports here, but we also talk about other activities. Being involved at your high school, getting off the couch is important.
It really is. You know, I went to a tiny high school in Iowa. Our kids went to a big suburban high school here, and you know, my wife and I, we grew up in the same town, same high school, a year apart. We participated in everything we could. And our kids here at a giant high school, same thing. They a lot more options. They chose what they wanted to do, had great experiences, were always busy, you know, had their friends that they still have today. They're all in their 30s. And yeah, there's nothing better than being involved and just having those opportunities.
Good stuff as always, John. Thanks again to Brandon. Thank you for listening. We'll be back with more food updates next week.
Yum.